Now, would you fancy trying to cross the road if there were no traffic lights, road markings, or zebra crossings? The shared space approach to street design suggests that getting rid of some or all of these elements could actually make things safer for pedestrians. The idea is gaining ground in the UK, but there are still concerns about how safe these roads and crossings actually are, and some debate too about the evidence in this area. Ben Hamilton Bailey coined the term shared space and has designed several of the UK's current shared spaces. And Professor Steve Melia is a senior lecturer in transport and planning at the University of the West of England. They both join me from our Bristol studio, so they're sharing that particular space. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ben Hamilton Bailey, define a shared space for us. What does it look like?
Well, a shared space is a shorthand term to describe really any public space which accommodates a range of activities, pedestrian, cycling, trade, all sorts of other things, along with the movement of traffic. So that typically, rather than it's commonly applied to where traffic is not segregated from its surroundings through traffic signals and guardrails and so on, but relies more on the normal social codes and common courtesies that we use every day.
Point to examples in the UK where you would say this has worked.
Well, there are many, but New Road in Brighton is one well-known example. And on a smaller scale, numbers of high streets, but Hamilton Road in Felixstowe in Suffolk, which accommodates the movement of traffic up and down the high street, but is still predominantly a pedestrian space. It's very low speeds, of course, which is essential to this integration of traffic with other activities.
Steve Melia, you have doubts. Why?
The key sort of objective of sharing of space is intended to be to encourage movement by non-motorised means, by walking, by cycling and so on. Now, in some circumstances, it seems that this approach may work reasonably well. From what we've seen, or from what the evidence shows so far, it seems that it is mainly where both the speed and the volume of traffic are low. There are a couple of problems with the way that this has evolved in the UK. One is that it is increasingly being suggested in circumstances of high traffic volumes, and we have done some of our research in one such area. Mm. The other issue is that if you actually look at those cities around Europe which have been most successful in reducing the sort of domination of traffic on everyday life, they tend to separate the different sort of modes of travel more than we do over here.
And you would point to the Netherlands in that context?
There are several countries, mainly in sort of central and northwest Europe.
Just to try and illustrate the differences between you, let me take you to one example that I know you've both written about and have a slightly different view of, which is Ashford in Kent. Ben Hamilton Bailey, you say that there was a ring road with three lanes and pedestrians couldn't cross it. They had to use underpasses. It's been replaced with informal courtesy crossings where the pedestrians can cross the road. You acknowledge it's been unpopular, but you say it's safer. Now, why?
Well, certainly in the first 3 years of its operation, the recorded accident and incident level, the injuries and so forth, are substantially lower, about 60% lower.
And do you say that's solely because of this shared space approach?
No, there could be a number of factors involved in that. But on the face of it, it was more about improving safety and equally about trying to find ways that the town of Ashford, that getting access to it on foot or in a car or any other means, could be improved.
Right, and Steve Melia, you would point to the other factors in the case of Ashford and say actually they might have mattered more here.
Yes, most certainly. The report which we were sent the other day by Kent County Council said overall it's 41% reductions in in casualties, and it varied according to the different categories.
But what are the other factors?
Points are this: that the speed limit was reduced from 30 to 20 miles per hour, and the capacity of that road was reduced, so that the actual volume of traffic has been roughly halved. So the traffic has roughly halved. The accidents have not gone down by a half. Now, what difference it would have made had they reduced the speed and the number of cars but not made it a shared space? Impossible to say.
Of course. Ben Hamilton-Bailey, the problem here surely is that ultimately, in a context like this, the aggressive motorist is always going to win.
Well, what we have been able to do the last few years is learn from the numerous spaces in which inevitably people share space with traffic. There are market squares and car parks and campsites all over the country where that goes on, and apply the same principles that what makes such spaces work well to busier streets.
Yeah, but that's my point. It might work in a marketplace. It's quite another thing to suggest at a busy road junction anything other than the aggressive motorist is going to come up trumps.
Well, certainly there's now enough schemes on the ground to suggest that what such integration does is to itself lower speeds and crucially to increase the awareness and alertness and reactions of drivers to their surroundings.
Steve Melia, deal with that point, because if you know a shared space is there, and I don't quite know how the signage would work, and we haven't got time to explore that, but if you know it's there, don't you behave differently and therefore more safely as a result?
Possibly. It depends entirely on the context. Again, the sort of report that we've written looking at the evidence would actually question some of the claims about, you know, the fact that it reduces speed. It may or it may not. I suspect that it may do in some circumstances and not in others. But the key point is, does it create an environment where people will want to walk and to cycle more than they do at present? And our evidence is suggesting that if you do it in areas of a lot of traffic, that's not the case.
Okay. Gentlemen, apologies for butting in, but time has beaten us. I suspect we could have explored that at greater length, and perhaps we'll do again at some point in the future. Thanks to Steve Melia and Ben Hamilton-Bailey. A word about tomorrow's Call You and Yours will be